Number 49, offering chamara, fan, and umbrella. Chamara Vyanjana Chatra Seva. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the upacharas Lord Ramachandra's associates offered him. O King, Lord Bharata carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. Bhagavatam 9:10, 42-43. So we see here it's also very interesting that when these things are being, these saivas are being performed, then the emphasis is not on who's managing so much, organizing, or who's in a prestigious position. But someone takes something and does it nicely. So service means that we're not worried about our position. We're not worried about what facilities we're going to get, what kind of returns come from the service other than devotion. And so even though each one of these persons here is qualified enough to, you know, run a kingdom themselves, they're very satisfied just serving the Lord humbly, doing one service nicely. So someone is carrying there Rama Bharata, who's just run the whole kingdom for 14 years, is just carrying the shoes. So he'll be going front with the shoes nicely. Sugriva and Vibhishana have a whisk and an excellent fan, so they'll be on each side fanning. And Hanuman will carry the white umbrella, so he'll be walking behind. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. They'll be at one side. Sita Devi next to the Lord, carrying a water pot filled with water. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield, and they'll be in the front. So you'll have your shoes, you'll have your sword and shield, then and bow and arrows, then you'll have your fans, and then the umbrella, and Sita Devi carrying the water pot. So like this, each one is taking one thing and doing it very nicely. So this is very important in the puja that we understand is everybody takes something and does it nicely. One is not known as being a big, big devotee by how much he can do, but more as the quality of how one can do it. You know, of course, if there's many less people and more things to do, we do whatever we can. But otherwise, when there's plenty of people, we're satisfied in doing things very simply, and but doing them very nicely. See, in the beginning, one thinks it's the technique that is the important thing. Or at the very beginning, just one knows a few terminologies, you know, can say a few big words, you know. But, and then after that, then one is very, feels oneself very impressive because of so many techniques one knows, many mantras, many mudras, many technical rituals. But factually, that's not the impressive part. The impressive part is, in this example here from Bhagavatam, is the quality in which it's done. You have a highly qualified person doing a simple thing excellently. Right? Otherwise, they could have got any of the, you know, the court people to carry things. Right? It doesn't, you don't have to have kings to carry umbrellas and ceremonial swords and shields and fans and whisks. That you can get any of the servants to do. But because of their devotion, then these highly qualified people are doing a very simple task in a first-class way. And first-class means it's being done with devotion. So the quality That's when you actually understand someone's come to a good platform. It's when the quality of service is very nice. When that quality is very nice, that is good. High class service is when the quality is good. So whether the technique is simple or elaborate, that doesn't matter. But the point we're looking for is the quality. When there's good quality, you know, done with devotion, care, attention, that is first class. So first class is more the quality than the quantity. Just like we may offer 1,008 preparations, but one has to see what is the quality. If it's 1,008 quality preparations, that's something very exceptional. But if it's 1,008 not so quality preparations, better to do 108 quality preparations, or 64, you know, or just a few. Krishna is more interested in quality rather than quantity. And if you can give quality and quantity, that's even better. The quality, better if simple quality than a lot of not so quality. Right? You understand? Like that. So this is the point when we're doing something. Now that someone has to say, oh, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and you know. So it's just a matter of you're having some program, some festival. Like that, take one thing, do it nicely. Right? Like someone is chanting mantras for the Lord. They just chant nicely. They don't have to chant halfway through and think, well, now I'll go bathe the deity, and now I'll run off to the other altar and bathe the other deities, and then I'll go out and do a little kirtan, and then I'll run back. No. You just chant your mantras nicely. You're organizing the Abhishek. You organize that. Don't worry about other things. You're offering Abhishek. You do that nicely. You're doing kirtan. You do that nicely. The whole point is who's supposed to be enjoying this festival? Right? Is it us or the Lord? If it's us, then we run around like madmen. And if it's the Lord, then we do something nicely. Then when the Lord's happy, we're happy. Right? That is the point. So here we see there's a festival of receiving Lord Ram back into the palace. And everybody is doing simple one thing. Each one is a king. One thing. Except for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bar none other than God. There's no one in the universe more powerful than Jambavan. No one. Jambavan appeared before Brahma. He saw this Madhu and Kaitava pastime. That's why he and Krishna were fighting for 28 days. You don't find any, not Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kamsa, all the biggies, you can bring them all out and add them all up, it still won't come to 28 days. But Jambavan fought for 28 days. Right? So how powerful? Jarasandha and Bhima fought how many days? 28 days. Okay, but that's 10,000 elephants. That's it. Bus. No more. Right? But now you're talking about much greater strength than that. Much greater. 28 days. Then after that, it clicked. Hey, wait a minute. You know, after Krishna was satisfied with the fighting, then he revealed to Jambavan that Jambavan thought, wait a minute. No, I can beat anybody in the universe except Vishnu. And now I've been fighting for 28 days, and I'm getting tired. So that must mean this is Vishnu.
Right?
That is Jambavan. He knows all the path. He's been since the beginning of creation, every Ram Leela, he's there. So this time when they were crossing the ocean, he was commenting to Ram, "Oh, you're doing it this way this time. You know, last time you did like this." So he's also amazed at the variety. Same basic thing happens. Sita gets kidnapped, they go to the forest, Sita gets kidnapped, Ravana takes her away. You know, he gets together the monkey army, they make a bridge. But how they do it, you know, each time has some variation. Like that. And he knows all these things. And he's just carrying the shield. That's all. Hanuman, he's an Ansa of Lord Shiva. So when he flies through the universe, he doesn't go on he's in the Vanara class. But he doesn't go in the lower stratas of the universal roads. Because they have their stratas. Different roads are for different people. Like that. You know, the yakshas and all that, Gandharvas, and then the demigods and the upper demigods and the sages and like this. Then there's Lord Brahma's path, Lord Shiva's path. So when he flies, he just immediately goes up to Lord Shiva's, moves in that. And no one's saying anything. No one can say. And he's just carrying the umbrella. Right? Bharat, Shatrughna, they're Prajumna and Aniruddha. Right? Expansions of the Lord. And they're just carrying. What are they carrying? Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. Yeah, and Bharat's just carrying the shoes. Like that. Sugriva, he's the king of the monkeys, the Vanaras. Means it's his army that went down to Lanka. Vibhishana, he's Ravana's brother. Right? Easily capable of. He runs Lanka now, he's the king. After Ravana was killed, Vibhishana was made the crown, he was given the crown. So Lanka is ruled by him. He's still there now. But he left with that party when they left to bring Ram back. So they're just using the fans, the peacock fans, the chamaras. Like that. So this is the mood. In other words, deity worship, it appears like rules and regulations, but what it's trying to establish is a mood. The whole purpose of deity worship is to help take us back to Godhead. So to go back to Godhead, you have to have the proper devotional mood, the proper devotional culture. So that's the real purpose of the deity worship. All these rules and regulations are keep us from straying away from looking forward on the path to Krishna and turning around and looking on the path to hell. That's basically what the rules and regulations are for. Just to keep our head turned in the right direction. You know? Like that. That is the purpose. So all this is because we see the glories of Krishna is unlimited. Anantadev, with 1,000 hoods, 1,000 mouths, has been chanting the Lord's glories since time immemorial. And he's still chanting. And he hasn't repeated anything. And he'll go on chanting unlimitedly. So that is the glories of the Lord. So how many volumes of books that could fill up? A few? Yes? Okay, now you put that on one side. The Lord's unlimited glories. Filling up stacks and stacks of books. And on the other side you put the deity worship book. Right? And we say, oh, so fat, so many rules. But it's nothing compared to the glories of the Lord. So these rules are here just to bring a reawaken within our heart, or help a reawaken within our heart that attention and attraction for the Lord. Why? Because we're conditioned. If we're not conditioned, then we do very nicely by just chanting Hare Krishna, surrendering to the Lord. But because of our conditioned nature, the mind is restless, the senses are restless, the intelligence is misdirected, the ego also is misdirected. So the rules and regulations given in the scriptures are to regulate that, so that we can chant Hare Krishna properly and go back to Godhead. So all these rules, they're coming from the Lord. Yajna-varaha, who is the Lord of sacrifice, all these different rules are coming from His body. Like that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, is it the prayer, what were we reading? The prayers of... It's in the class now. Who's offering prayers? The residents of Jambudvip are offering prayers in the fifth canto to Varahadev. And one of them, they say, is the ritual. He is the ritual and he is the sacrifice. And these are his body. So these are coming from him. You know? Look at that. This is the source of them. So that is the purpose of them, is to reawaken our remembrance of the Lord and reawaken our affection for the Lord. That is the purpose. So if we understand that, then whatever we can do in it, whether it's simple or elaborate, we will get this correct result. So it's not that more elaborate, because this is nothing. Right? This is the compilation, taking essential points from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas itself, you know, is, I would say, at least three times the size of this set of two books. Right? And that has just taken the essence out of the Pancharatras. There's 108 Pancharatras. So they've taken the essence. What is that? Are those... Who's playing with those bamboos? Huh? Tell them to be careful that they don't break them, please. Huh. So, and that is just taking the essence out of the Pancharatra. Pancharatras, the Tantras, the Vedas. It's essence of the process of worship. Just giving the conclusions. Right? In other words, it is the expansion of the conclusions and directions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So if this whole process of deity worship and Pancharatra was not important, I don't think Lord Chaitanya would sit down every day for 2 months on the bank of the Ganga and speak to Sanatana Goswami. Right? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Niyamagraha. We have to be very careful to understand the purpose of the rules, otherwise we're attached to rules for rules' sake, useless. Or we reject the rules because we're Paramahamsas. Right? No? Many places you go, you say, what about this? And they say, oh, we chant, we don't care for these things. I've seen so many times. Many temples ago. But they don't even know what the rule is, what it's for, its purpose, anything. And then one's saying, we just chant. So Lord Chaitanya thought it was important. The Acharyas thought it was important. Prabhupada asked that the deity worship book be established, because he thought it was important. And he felt the devotee should study it. I think we discussed it yesterday or sometime today. That Prabhupada originally had an idea, I think in the early 70s, that to get second initiation you had to study Bhakti Shastri and the deity worship book. And when you understood deity worship and the philosophy, then you were given second initiation. So the importance is there. But as we see, because the point Niyamagraha cuts both ways. Those who are too attached to the rules, those who couldn't care less for the rules. But as we see from here, this example of Ramachandra and his associates, they understood what is the purpose. It is a medium through which to express one's devotion through the Lord. It is a culture. It is the culture of those who are, how do you say, surrendered to the Lord and want to interact. So here, they are such great devotees that they are personally present and associates with the Lord. So their deity worship, then they are directly offering to the Lord in his pastimes. And because they have that love. And ourselves, due to lack of having that love, then we worship the Lord through the Archamurti. Because he is so kind, he will come to us even though we do not have the eyes of love to see him. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. This bhakti vilochana. We don't have those eyes. Premanjana, with the ointment of prema. We don't have. So the Lord, these devotees have, but we don't. So he comes so nicely as the Archamurti. And the point is these rules are to show what they do. Like here it'll say, when the Lord goes out in a procession, Pancharatra will say, there should be a nice fine umbrella carried over his head. Right? So it has to say that. And then we may say, we don't care for these, we just chant Hare Krishna. Right? But here, Hanuman, out of his pure love, Lord is coming, he gets an umbrella. Umbrella is a sign of respect, here comes God. So he wants to carry the umbrella. So out of devotion it's happening. So these same rules can be applied as rules to regulate our life. And in the mature stage, the same rules are the vehicle in which we can offer our devotion to the Lord. The more we have that devotion, the more the system is very, very natural. The regulation is there to see that a minimum standard is maintained, or a nice standard is maintained. And our life is kept regular so that we can do that service regular. No use of great devotion one day and the next day, nothing. There must be regularity. Therefore, every day at this time this is done, this time this is done. Because that's how it works in the spiritual realm. Right? It means there's unlimited things happening, but at a fixed time. At a fixed time, Krishna gets up in the morning. He goes to the cowshed, he milks the cows, he comes back, takes his bath, takes his morning meal, takes a little rest, and then goes out of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys and the cows to the forest. He does that always, every day, basically the same time. He goes out with them, he disappears, he has his noon pastimes. He comes back with the cowherd boys, brings them back and the cows back in the evening, when it's starting towards the sun is going down. He's received when he comes to Vrindavan by Mother Yashoda and the others. He has his bath, his evening meal. He sits with Nanda Baba and listens to, they discuss many things, listens to music, sees dramas, dancing, these kind of things, takes rest, and then he goes for his night pastimes. So every day these things are happening. Every day in a new, special, unique way. Ever fresh. But you see, Krishna is... So spontaneous does not mean sporadic or whimsical. Sporadic means it doesn't happen regularly, and whimsical means whenever you feel like it. So those devotees who have that great love, it's going on a regular basis. Huh? Look out when it gets hot like that. Huh? They are. They haven't... They haven't carried Konteya off yet. Walking past, they pick him up, take him. Yes. It's going to be a long rain. It mentions, I think, in the Krishna book that after the summertime when it's very hot, and the residents of Vrindavan are very happy when the first rains, they welcome the rains. Because the wind comes, the rains come, and cools everything down. And so it's interesting. It gets very, very hot, and then that cool wind. Huh? What's that?
He's asking if there was a sign of Sanjay.
Ah, yes. And what was that? Which side was the nose with the air moving? And okay. And then he was running towards the west. The dove flew into the tree on the south. The tick-ticky. Ticked 8 times on the north. Ah, yes. Okay. Yes. Huh? Yes. And the black clouds are coming above us. Okay, let's just finish this here. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu writes, a yak-tailed chamara and peacock feather fan, or other types of fan, is offered at the conclusion of full artic ceremonies. They are both aspects of kingly service, where the practical function of the chamara is to keep flies away from a person, and the fan is, of course, to give a cooling effect. In some temples in India, there is a mechanical fan arrangement over the head of the deity, which is connected to a cord in the darshan hall, allowing visitors to serve the Lord by fanning him. Mechanical means it's like a huge, like, rug, or very, very heavy, heavy, almost like a, what do you call? Yeah, like a carpet, or very heavy blanket, or very thick cloth, and sometimes it has tassels on it. Very big. Depends if it's, what is the size? Huh? Yeah, like a quilt, or, but it's heavy and it falls straight. So it's thick and it has weight. And then it's generally can be square or rectangular or something, and it's connected to the ceiling or to something above and it hangs straight down. Then on the bottom in the middle you attach a cord. So if it's stiff enough on its own, otherwise there may be a, you know, like some kind of a rod at the bottom. And then that rope is, this will be above the seating place of the deity, connected to the ceiling. Then that rope will go out through the front wall and then hang down somewhere where you can pull on it, and it'll swing that carpet forward, and then you let it swing back on its own weight, and then you pull again. This way it makes a very nice breeze. So I've seen also some temples where they have that and people can come and fan the deity for a while. You know, even between, when it's between the artiques and things like that, they offer. Otherwise, it's in old houses and that, before, that was a very common way of, like in the main sitting room, one had that. Now it's getting serious. Yes. So, and on the yak tail fan, sometimes it's just thought it's just something to spin around and twirl and make amazing, you know, hand movements with. But its purpose is actually to keep off flies, bugs, plus it has a cooling effect. I saw once for Julan, then Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. She came to the Calcutta temple when we were doing Julan of the deities. And she wanted a fan with the chamara. So, you know, the small deities had come out. And then she took the chamara and asked for an Achman cup. And so she put some water on her hand, very lightly, and then would wipe the hairs of the chamara on the outside, then make her hand a little damp again, and then do it again. And so she had made the whole thing on the outside just slightly moist, not wet, just slightly, just a touch of water. And then she fanned with that, because the water on the fan would give more of a cooling effect. So it does cool also, but not as much as the peacock fan, but it keeps away flies. So I think once when somebody was fanning Prabhupada, and they're just doing all this fancy decorative things, and Prabhupada turned to look at him and said, "Do you know what that thing's for?" The devotee didn't know what to say. And he says, "For keeping off the flies and bugs." You know? So then you have to fan it. So I see it's generally, if you're in an artik, you fan in a particular way, but the idea is that the hairs, the whisk, it comes out, it opens. You know, it's kind of like fluffs out at some point in your offering it. You know? Because that, like, scares anything. So when you're, like, if you're sitting next to somebody, standing next to somebody and fanning with that, you'll always move it in different directions all around, behind them, above them, this side, that, like that. It's a thing, because if you look at it, how does a cow use its tail? It's always flipping this side, that side, above, below. That way it just scares the flies or anything else. So that's the purpose of it. So one should keep that in mind when one is offering.
It's a yak tail.
Yeah, it's a yak. Well, they call it yak tail fan. It just, generally on a yak, it's one kind of, it's also a cow. So it's one kind of sacred cow.
Yeah,
to some degree. It's a cow. It's a kind of cow. At least up in Nepal they do. Like that. I think in Bhutan, at least before, now maybe different, but before, or in the villages and all that, their currency was yak cheese. They would make cheese into little squares, little cubes, and then string it on a mala. So you have a piece of cheese and a little space and another piece of cheese and space like this. I don't know how many would be on a mala. But that would be worth so much. You could go out and buy things with that. It had purchasing power. And if nothing else, you could eat it. So it was quite a very practical currency. So they have chamaras growing from their chin, from their shoulders, you know, on the front legs and the flanks and the back legs, and the end of their tail. The biggest one's on the end of the tail. That's why it's called generally a chamara, you know, fan, or yak tail fan. But the hair can be taken from any of those places.
But the thing, sometimes you take the chamara out, that thing is the bone.
Some of them do like that. They have the when they die, then they just take the whole tail like that. Otherwise, you can just shave that part. That's another way. And then they weave it onto a, you know, a long, like a long, how do you say? Huh? It's not exactly a string. It's like it's a little bit wide. Like a canvas strap kind of thing. Thick kind of thing. They braid it into that.
Sometimes they leave the bone.
Sometimes. Generally in north, they seem to leave more the bone. But in south, they generally prefer to take it off, the bone, or just get loose hair. And then they weave it onto that like strip, that cloth strip, into that, And then they take that cloth strip and wrap that around a wooden piece. And then that's stuck into the chamara handle. Well, in North, many times they just take the tail as it is and put that into the handle, like that. But in the South, they prefer the woven kind. It costs a little bit more, those ones, because it's more work, yeah. So in North, you don't see it as much, but you can get them. If you order them, you can get like that. Depends. You can make bigger fans that way, like that. It depends what you want to get with the fan. If you want long hair, not so fat, then you can leave it like it is. Some of them are quite fat, but otherwise, by the other method where you wind it on like that, then you can get quite a fat fan, very fat, heavy fan. I'm not sure. It's considered very pure. And maybe it's time to stop. So the what do you call it? It's pure. The hairs of the yak are pure. You know? And it you can make it into a fan, like while a cow's tail is also pure, but the hairs are quite short. You can't make much of a fan out of that. Plus, they're not straight. They're wavy on the yak tail. The cow's hair is straight. The yak tail is a little frizzy. So then it fluffs out more. It'll carry more wind, and it makes more... It's more exciting. Well, yeah, that if one does touch, one should not whip. It's a light. But you also have to make sure that the chamara is clean. You know, it's not that it used to be a white chamara and now it's kind of a dark gray, you know? Like that. You should always keep them very clean also. They should be washed. You just wash them. Like that, because it's hair. It's like washing wool. It's just, you use it in, you know, how you say, non-detergent soapy water. Yeah, shampoo like that. Just wash it, rinse them out nicely, fluff them out a bit, and let them dry. They'll dry very quickly. Because hair doesn't absorb any water. That's why it's considered, these wools and all these are pure, because they don't absorb water. You know, like that. So it just runs off very quickly, it dries. Yeah, they can. They can last a very long time. They don't go... If you take care of them, they won't go bad. What is going on here? Can we just have class? Okay. All right, any other questions on this?
These yaks are mostly in the Tibet.
I think they are also in Nepal, right? You get yaks? Yaks, you know when somebody talks too much? You get that up in Nepal? Yeah, see, lots of yak up in Nepal. Huh? Yeah. You know, it's a one kind of cow, you know, the chamara? Those cows you have in Nepal? Yeah. I think they live up in the mountains, no? They like cold. They don't come down to where it's hot. Are they big? Someone told me they're bigger than cows. But they're really big. Yeah. How much bigger? Huh? How much bigger than cows? Two times. Really? How long do they live? Don't know, a long time. Because they're right up in the, like, back up in the mountains and stuff. They live up where snow and all that. And They like, I don't know what they eat up there. Maybe they eat snow. I don't know. I mean, that's why they're so white. Yeah, they always eat snow.
You can get black ones.
You also get black.
Black? More than clouds? More.
Chamaris. What do you call them in Nepali?
Pahadi.
Pahadi. It's called chamaris. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
In the Bhagavatam, it's described what? The axe there. Oh, I see. Okay, so there.
So they're pure, like cows.
Yeah. That, I guess. I don't know. But they're one kind of, just a kind of cow, but they're just a mountain cow. You only hear of them living up where it's cold and like that.
You can like open up a farm.
I don't think you could bring them down here, no.
Yeah.
Or if it gets too hot, they can just fan themselves. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But he said they're big.
They don't shave them up like they do with sheep?
I don't know. Hey, Agni, in the summertime, do they shave them? Take off all their wool and all that? You don't know. They do. Yak wool. So it wasn't like the chamara part, so for the body. Oh, okay. So maybe they do. Maybe. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to. But it must be interesting is that you have a cow that you can get all your wool and all these things from, your milk, your wool. You don't have to keep sheep. Four times more sheep than people in Iceland. So, four times, so do they also have a vote, or? Yeah, I mean, they're in the majority, they can. Okay, so we'll end here for tonight. Yes. Before we get blown away in the storm here. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.